This is Carrie.
And Michelle. And welcome to Raising Your Consciousness.
This is a space to raise our consciousness and reach our full spiritual potential.
And that's through spiritual, esoteric, and even magical practices. We're here to bring happiness and meaning back into your life.
Let's get started.
Good afternoon, everyone. And today we're going to talk about how negative mindset is such a huge factor when you're trying to grow spiritually. And why is that? There's a huge factor in our mindset, and that's a lot of the times why we're not seeing the results that we want in our spiritual growth or in our life or in our practices, whether it's trying to manifest or if it's trying to perform a magical ritual. I've actually had clients say to me, I'm stuck. I just don't know where to go now. So they start thinking, I'm not good enough or I'm not there. And there's a lot of problems that start to revolve around where your head is. I feel like, you know, with working with clients, I find that it's so important to get your head in the right place. Every time I start with the spiritual stuff first, I end up having to backtrack and say, okay, we're going to stop. We need to get your head in the right place. I have a lot to say about this, so I don't want to consume.
I have a lot of listening to do. I love it when you talk about mindset, because I think you have a lot of useful information to share.
And that's just because I'm a mindset coach. So
this is your wheelhouse, my dear.
Yeah, it is a little bit of my wheelhouse, definitely. You know, I found that a lot of clients can't seem to manifest. They always say to me, I want to learn how to manifest. There are so many videos out there. There's so much on YouTube. There's so much on TikTok. There's so much on Instagram. There's so much on Facebook on how to manifest, but they can't seem to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, we were talking earlier about sort of doubt, skepticism, and open-mindedness, right? What I think is causing a barrier for people in manifesting and even in spiritual growth and achieving meaning and happiness is believing that it's not possible. I believe things are possible. And so to me, that belief that things are possible is a crack in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also think there's a problem with some folks just having these narratives around their lives. And I've had friends like this where they just think they're unlucky, like bad stuff happens to them all the time. I'm just like, I've got the worst luck in the world. And that becomes their truth because they've told this to themselves so many times. And so I think changing that mindset can be vital to any spiritual practice. Before you begin a spiritual practice, being able to change that mindset to something like, well, I've had bad luck in the past, but things are changing for me now.
Well, I'm going to give a quick little helpful tool to everyone on how to change your mindset, because a lot of people struggle with this. Now, when I'm working with a client, we kind of dive into the deeper subconscious feelings, thoughts that they didn't even realize that they had. But most people are very aware of, you know, how they think. My suggestion is every time that you have a thought that's negative or possibly limiting, then write it down and really try to dig into yourself and write all those thoughts down. And then look at that, each one of those, and ask yourself, is that a limiting belief? Is it a lie that I'm telling myself? Or is it a truth? Because sometimes it is a truth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a truth for now, but it doesn't have to be a truth forever.
Mm-hmm.
And just by changing a few things, it can alter your truth.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a perception, a limiting belief, a lie, or a truth. And by looking at all those words that we say to ourselves, we can change that story and start telling ourselves a new story and rewrite that story by looking at that. Take that new story and write it every day. Say it out loud. Really drill it into your head and do it every single day for months,
mm-hmm,
until it starts repeating back in your head. Because Your mind is like an organic computer. If you go anywhere and you hear something over and over again, it just starts repeating it. If you go to Disney World and you spend the whole day there, by the time you leave and the next day and the next day after, you're going to be hearing that song playing in your head over and over again. It's like, and you can't get it out.
Yep.
Because you've heard it and you've heard it and you've heard it and you've heard it. So what we've done here is we have told ourselves something so many times, either because we've experienced certain things or because somebody else has told us or because somehow or another we've gotten ourselves trapped into a limiting belief that's harming us. And so by telling ourselves a new story, it starts to record that in our brain. And eventually, if you say it to yourself enough, you end up creating a new recording. Now, when you have a new recording, your brain starts working for you. So you start moving into a positive space. And it's so much easier to believe in something and to step into the possibilities that you said when you are in a different space. But if you're constantly believing you have a curse or you've got an attachment or you have some sort of thing that's stopping you, some sort of energy or somebody's putting out this bad energy and you can't, stop it. As long as you have those belief structures or you believe you're not good enough or you believe you're never going to, this is never going to happen or you're not smart enough, all of those things are going to stop you in your tracks and you won't be able to evolve spiritually because we get trapped in these beliefs. Now, one of the things that I have found with some religions that are Protestant, not all of them, but some of the Protestant religions teach very strongly about the original sin and you're a sinner and you're born into sin.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of times when you hear that so much, what happens is you start to use it as an excuse. It's because I'm human. It's because I was born into sin. And this is why I'm doing this. This is why I had an affair on my wife. This is why I'm a criminal. This is why I drink so much because I'm a sinner and God forgives me. So I'm okay now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a repeating pattern.
After you've destroyed everybody's lives around you. But
you just can't stop. Yeah.
Yeah. I got that free ticket to heaven. So that's okay. Even though I destroyed everybody's lives around me.
But there's no growth there. Like there's it's a no lifetime growth. Of stagnation.
Mm-hmm. There's no growth. And when you start taking responsibility for your actions and you realize that you can change these things, you're stepping into a higher power. You're stepping into a higher power within yourself. You're believing that you can do this. And the possibilities of change are there. You have the most amazing tool that you could ever have, and that's called your brain. And just because you have a virus doesn't mean it can't be fixed. It can be fixed. And it can be fixed very simply. It doesn't have to be a hard thing. It's a time-consuming thing. It's going to take dedication and discipline and motivation to do those things. Now, a lot of clients come to me and they don't have that. They have no discipline. They have no dedication. They have no will. And they have no motivation. And that's okay. That's why they hire me. Because I hold them to that. I expect them to do certain things. And I give them a little bit to do here every day. And we start building on that. And eventually, at some point, they start saying, wow, my head's thinking different.
Yeah, when they start training, basically, for their brain.
Right. Exactly. And what's interesting that happens is they come to me with, I just want to fix this within myself. It's usually one or two things. But when they start seeing the possibilities, oh, will we fix this? Now I want this fixed. Now I want this fixed. It's sort of like, oh, I want to be better. Oh, I realize that I can be better. So I want to do this now. I want to do this now. All these things start popping up and they start realizing the possibilities of happiness. And so how does that relate to your spiritual growth? Well, if you're in a negative mind space, then you start to believe that God's not listening to you, that God doesn't care, or God's basically like, you're just too big of a sinner, or, or something, you know, or he's not listening to you, or your prayers aren't working, or there's just all these beliefs like that is so untrue.
Right. So it's almost like, why bother? Right. Why should I even bother?
Well, they do. The only reason they go to church is because they don't want to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the definition of spiritual
growth. That's not spiritual growth. No. Again, it's stagnation.
You're not supposed to be living in fear. You're supposed to be living in the light.
Yeah.
And for you to step into the light, you have to step into love. And stepping into love means that you have to love yourself. So it always starts with mindset. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have your mindset right, then you can't love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're always in that negative space where you're like always thinking something's wrong with you, or your life is shit. And this is why I do the work that I do, is because I want to see this beautiful things happening for these people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing to see this transformation happen, to turn them into this beautiful butterfly where they start to see possibilities.
Right.
And then when they see that, it's so easy to step into the next phase of connecting with God, because they believe they are part of God and God's in them.
Yeah.
They don't have all that negative separation that's so strong.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. It's such a beautiful way of putting it too. Because it almost seems the way you're describing it is that spiritual growth does require transformation. Any growth requires a transformation. And, you know, in magical terms, we call that alchemy, right? Mm-hmm. And then so it is, it's a bit of an alchemy of the spirit when you're opening yourself up to these changes that you didn't think were possible before.
And I think that's why we have proctors.
Mm-hmm.
Because those proctors help us with those specific things. Like, I know my proctor has helped me like a million times. Every single time that I have a personal issue that I'm working on, he helps me see that direction that I need to move into,
mm-hmm.
to hold my light,
mm-hmm.
to use my armor, to move into a higher space.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I may be in a high space, but I have a lot higher spaces to go to, you know, and I want to go as high as I can in this lifetime. You know, I want to get as far as I can possibly get in one lifetime, you know?
Well, I think that highlights just to the importance of teachers and guides, and how within all of us, like, we're both guide and follower, you know, teacher and student at the same time. You know, there's always going to be somebody who is better able to show us what we need to be shown, like to hold the light in front of us and we can follow them. And then, you know, we can use our own light to show others their way forward, right? It's not like one thing or the other, like, oh, I'm a perpetual student. I'm never going to be, you know, smart enough or spiritual enough to help anybody. I don't think that's true at all. But I think even as we continue to grow and learn, we can always learn from one another.
I love what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because that's something that I reiterate with my clients, is that there's always going to be somebody beneath you and there's always going to be somebody above you.
Yes.
So when I'm dealing with clients that have issues with that person's better than me, and they see them progressing faster, or they've evolved more, or they've accomplished more, or they succeeded more, they get into that space of, I'm not good enough, because they're comparing. But if they look at where they've came from, they're better than some others. And those others that they're better than are better than some others, you know?
Yeah.
And if you look, instead of looking down and you look up, you're always going to have somebody better than you. And you don't want to look at it from that angle. They're better than me. I'm not good enough. No, you look at it from the angle of this is a person that can guide you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want, instead of like being jealous, you want to be grateful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is someone I can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I feel like sometimes there's no more negative emotion than like jealousy or envy, right? They kill you. They just destroy your soul. If you can look at somebody's brilliance and not feel like frightened by it or intimidated by it, but more like appreciative of it and be like, oh, I can share in that. I can learn from that. It's such a better place mentally and spiritually.
Well, when I look at my proctor, you and I have talked about this because we mm-hmm. have a proctor, and he's like a sage.
He's just so wise, but also so kind, right? Mm-hmm. Like just like hearing his voice, I find soothing. Like I could just listen to him, like, I don't know, read the terms of agreement for like an Apple computer thing, and I'd be content just because he's so soothing. He's got such a soothing presence. I love it.
When I sit with him, I never think you're better than me. I think, and he never makes me feel that way.
Yeah.
He always makes me feel good about who I am and where I am.
Yeah.
And that's a good teacher, you know?
Yeah, isn't it? It's like the kind of teacher that I want to be, right? It's
right.
Like, and so we can totally appreciate that and try to learn from it.
Right, exactly. It's, I don't look at him and say, you're better than me, you're this, you're that. I look at him and say, you're somebody I can look up to, that I can go to, that I can trust, that I can counsel with, that can guide me, that can teach me, that can open my eyes to something that I didn't see. And I never look at it from the other angle.
Yeah.
There was a point in my life where I was like that, though.
When I was younger, too, I had problems like feeling jealous of people who I thought were, you know, smarter than me and, you know,
mm-hmm.
doing like, it can be kind of, you know, academia can be competitive at times. And I was probably my least happy in my life when I bought into that competitiveness and that the like, feeling envious of people because they're smarter than I am, or they did better on their, you know, written exam or whatever. It's not good. It's not good for you.
Just to kind of be vulnerable here and tell you about what happened with me when I was working with Patrick, he was so beyond comprehension
mm-hmm.
that I was jealous of him. Like every time he would tell me something that he did or he's accomplished, that I would always think, I want to do that. I want to do that. What do I have to do that?
Right.
Sort of like there was like,
and I want to be able to do it now.
Right. Exactly. And it was just like, dadgummit, he just did something I really want to do. And there was that jealousy. And I didn't realize it at the time, but it was definitely a motivating force
mm-hmm.
for me, you know, to see a path forward. But I don't see it from the same angle anymore
right.
or from that same perception. I, mm-hmm. you know, he's passed on, but if he was to be my teacher now, I would be ecstatic in a different way. I would honor him. I would cherish him. I would love him. I would be grateful of him. Not that I wasn't before. It's just I wasn't evolved enough.
Right, right. You've changed. You've transformed. You've had your own periods of alchemy and growth.
Right. And now I see somebody who's above me, maybe not be a Patrick, but he is still above me.
Mm-hmm.
And he has definitely accomplished things that I haven't accomplished. And so when I sit in his space, I am honored
mm-hmm.
by his presence. by his ability to gift me with that space that he gives me when I say, I need to talk, I'm having an issue.
Right.
You know, this is where I'm having a problem. I need you to help me work through it. And a lot of times he just helps me see things that I already know, mm-hmm. and just kind of reaffirms what my angels already told me. You know, you were talking about doubt, and, you know, sometimes, like, I'll sit down, I'll commune with the angels, and they'll tell me some stuff, and then I'll go, okay, am I imagining this? I'm going to call him. So I call him, and he says the exact same thing, and then I'm just like, you know? But it's sometimes he's there just to reaffirm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our teachers are there for, and they help us grow into that space. So it's so important that we actually clear out that space so that we can grow spiritually. And if you do not have somebody that you're working with, you should find somebody. And you got to find somebody that you can make that connection with. Important that you have somebody that's going to teach you how to grow. Because it's very difficult when you have blinders on both sides of your eyes and you just can't see forward.
Yeah, I think too, it's also helpful to have somebody to be accountable to, in a way. Just like, you know, your clients are accountable to you, which helps them develop this ability to be more self-disciplined, to do the things they need to do to grow. And I find too, in our practice, by being associated with a group of people who are on the same path, you are accountable to study, to do the work. Right? That accountability is something often that requires others, right? There's a lot we can do on our own, for sure. But sometimes we do need a teacher or a mentor, someone there for us.
And a lot of times when the student is ready, the teacher will come.
It is true. It is absolutely true.
Yeah, sometimes we just have to do a little growing on our own mm-hmm. first. To match up with that teacher that we need. And sometimes it's a matter of just being ready to reach out and find that teacher. I know that after Patrick, I didn't have a teacher for a while. And I was looking hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was looking really hard for a while and I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't find it. But when I was ready, I found it.
Yeah.
And that's when I ended up joining this organization and got some really good. Yeah. Wow, we have quite a few, actually, that may not be assigned to us, but they're always willing to help us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, a lot of the uncertainty I had at the beginning has vanished just because of, like, the privilege of working with these folks. Is great. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you are trying to do some kind of magic, like manifesting, for example, and you're finding that it's just not working for you, a lot of times that's because you're in the wrong mindset. And that's why it's so important that you clear out the negative energy, because negative energy is not in alignment with positive things happening to you. So if you think about it, it's like a magnet. You are a negative magnet, so you're attracting negative things to you. You have to shift that energy in your mind, in your thoughts, being, in your actions, in your emotions. And when you shift that, you become aligned with positive and wonderful things happening for you.
Yeah, and it's not just magic too. I think it was you who told me the quote about magic being science that just hasn't been explained yet. Yeah, that idea. But when it comes to, like, just physiology and the connection with your physiology and psychology, like, there are studies about this. If you have a positive attitude, say, like, after a stroke or a heart attack, people with a positive attitude are more likely to recover and gain function than people with a negative attitude. We know that when you're stressed out, your body produces cortisol, which is not good for your body. It causes inflammation. Inflammation damages your cells. So there's definitely this link, this beautiful link, I think, between the magic of our mind and our bodies And, you know, I think maybe some of the magic that we practice, it may sound like a little woo-woo and hippy-dippy, but maybe it's just because an explanation for it hasn't been found yet. But mindset and doing magic is key in just having the open-mindedness to the magic. And if something doesn't work, it doesn't mean it's because it will never work ever, right? Just having the openness to, okay, it's not working for me right now. Maybe there's a reason it's not working right now. Maybe I should try it again.
You know, you just brought up something that made me think about something else.
Hmm.
You know, like some people go to healers.
Yeah.
Or they go to a magical practitioner and they ask for them to remove a curse or to bring me more luck or to do certain things for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that that particular practitioner didn't do it right or they're false or they're, you know, it didn't work or they're not good enough or they just, you know, took your money. You have to be open to that experience. That's why when you go for a healing session, your practitioner always asks you, are you open to be healed? Are you ready to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Because a lot of times, subconsciously, we don't allow that healing to happen. You know, because you brought up the fact that being open to something and made me think about this, that we have to be open to let that transformation happen within us, whether it's through a teacher or whether it's through a healer or it's through some sort of magical ceremony that somebody does for you or that you do for yourself. All of that requires you to be in that space. And if it's not working, it's because you're not open to it. In other words, negative energy is not in alignment with it.
Yeah, I think, you know, being open to the experience is really important. And also for a lot of things, you know, patience too. And, you know, knowing that sometimes we can't control the timing at which we manifest something. And that can be extraordinarily frustrating when you want something, you know, now, that we often can't dictate the timing or even sometimes the form of what we're asking for, how it takes shape. And a lot of times we end up getting exactly what we asked for, right? And it might not be what you thought in your mind, but when you go back and think about it, you get exactly what you asked for. In another podcast, you and I were talking about the author Damien Eccles, who used high magic as a tool to free himself from false imprisonment. He was accused of murder, of which he was innocent. He was on death row, and he used this practice of high magic to get out of prison. But he didn't ask to be exonerated. Like in his mind, he assumed that if I'm going to be, you know, free from prison, of course I'm going to be exonerated. But that didn't happen. He was released on an Alfred plea, which is different than being exonerated. And so in the end, he's like, yeah, I got exactly what I asked for, which often isn't what we think we're asking for, if that makes sense.
Well, that's happened to me a lot.
I know it has. You have told me of times where, like, you put the magic out there and then you got the thing and it was like, oh, no. That's what I asked for, though.
You
should have been more specific about something.
A lot of times you get exactly what you're asking for, but you don't realize what you're asking for. I remember when I was much younger before me and Shane became an item, before we were dating or got married or anything. I was very busy. I went through a phase where I didn't date anybody because I was too busy trying to build my business. So I was very focused in on that. And I still continue to meet people periodically through some of the things that I was doing, you know, showing up in meetup groups and stuff to try to promote myself. And I would meet these guys and they'd be interested and they come at me so strong and they want so much from me. And I couldn't give that back. I couldn't give the time, the energy, everything that they needed. So I went through a phase where I didn't date at all just because I didn't feel like dealing with that pressure. And eventually I came to a point where I was like, I really don't like being alone. So maybe what I need is someone who is not going to put that kind of pressure on me. And what I did was I attracted men that had commitment issues.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they traveled a lot, or...
You got what you wanted.
I attracted a guy who was polyamorous. I attracted a guy who lived in another state. I attracted a guy who couldn't commit and couldn't keep his thing in his pants. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot. And I remember actually realizing that one day and saying, oh my God, I did this. This is because when I became ready, I was still attracting that.
Yeah.
And I said, I got to fix this now. Yeah. So a lot of times we don't realize it. So sometimes the magic is not working because of the way that we're asking for it. And we're not really sure exactly what we need. And the universe will bring you what you ask for. Definitely.
Well, I think that's also a really good point you just made about not being sure, right? And I think that sort of sometimes the uncertainty, the indecision can play a role in what ultimately happens or doesn't happen when you're manifesting something. And I remember, like, I know you've learned now the lesson well of being specific about what you're asking for, because I remember when I was trying to manifest our house, and you were helping me, and you're like, no, you've got to nail it down, girl. Like, it's so big.
Exactly. Like, even with my mom, like, when I get her on the bandwagon for praying for me, a lot of times what I'm doing is I'm increasing that energy, okay? So I'm putting out as many lights as possible, like ramping up that energy to make it stronger. So I'll call her up and say, pray for this. And I said, but Mom, listen to me. Don't just pray in general. I need you to be very specific. I want you to this, 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 and this. This is exactly what I want. Make sure that that's what you're praying for. And she actually learned from me by doing that. She said, and I think we talked about this in the podcast when we interviewed her. She said, you pray very specifically.
Yeah. She's got that down. She's like a prayer warrior. Yeah, she's really good.
She is. She gets what she asks for. That's for sure. And she's as cute as pie, I tell you what. Yeah, so when we are, you know, doing that, it definitely makes a difference. But I will say that there is something that is, how do I say this? There's something to getting multiple people involved and increasing that energy. There is something that is really strong about that. I mean, when you are, whatever kind of practice you're doing, even if it's prayer, if you get a lot of people together that is putting intention and energy that's coming from God, and you put them all together and you have them, it makes a difference. And I know that we're talking about mindset and spiritual growth, but I personally think that if you are struggling with that mindset, get some of your friends together and power up that energy to help you, like, move into the right direction. Get some friends praying for you or doing rituals for you or healing you, or, I mean, get that energy out there. There is something to be said about using multiple.
It matters. Just like what you're talking about reminded me. I don't know if you've ever heard of those studies where group meditation has reduced crime rates in areas.
Yes, I have heard of that.
Yeah. So it's not, you know, there's something there. I don't know what it is. I can't claim to know how it works, but there's something there. So when you get lots of people using sort of their mental energy for good, you can cause change.
You guys, if you are struggling with your own personal spiritual growth and you feel lost, or you feel like God doesn't hear you, or you feel like you don't know which direction to go, you really don't know how to make that connection, start with your mindset. Start with that space. Like, Think of it as going to elementary. You need to learn how to get into a positive mindset where you can love yourself. And when you can get into that space of loving yourself and feeling good about who you are, then it's going to be easy for you to step into believing that you're worth getting wonderful things in your life and making that connection with God and being able to be a magical person.
Yeah.
I hope that you enjoyed this podcast, and we will see you in the next one.
Hi, this is Michelle, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for engaging in this podcast and taking this journey with us where we are raising your consciousness. Make sure that you follow us on Instagram and on Facebook so that you can actually engage with us, ask us questions, offer some suggestions, or anything that you would be willing to, you know, throw out there for us. We want to engage with our public. We look forward to hearing back from you and starting this journey. See you next time.